Okay, so over the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing different issues of not. And last week, by the wayside, we came across a halacha, which a lot of people were surprised about, and that was that hagala actually is not supposed to be done on a kutza ben yomo. And the reason for that was because since we are generally machmir by not bar not, so if you're going to have a kli ben yomo, and you're going to stick it into another pot to do hagala, then what's going to happen? The flavor from the treif kli is going to go into the water, then it's going to come back in, and that's going to be a regular not bar not. So generally we have the practice to do hagala only on a kli she'ena ben yomo. So I figured this was a good time to maybe digress a little bit and have a shiur about the general guidelines of hagala. It's a very interesting topic. Obviously we're not going to finish everything this week. So we're gonna get to that.
I remember one thing on Shisha.
Yeah.
And he asked me, is there shisha, would you say if you used a flashiga spoon to stir your coffee?
Right.
In the tray of the coffee. Because I think that the shisha and the teaspoon connected the coffee.
Okay.
And the initial reaction would be no, there isn't. And then he said, no, let's take a look. And he pulled out a mug and he pulled out a spoon and we lined up spoons in the coffee cup, and normally there actually is shisha.
60 spoons?
You could fit 60 spoons spooned together into a coffee cup.
Hard to understand, because the Shulchan Aruch says we're mishar kidei kula, not only on the part that touched the coffee, we're mishar against the whole thing. Because we assume that the whole thing got full of blias through and through, even at the top of the spoon. Whatever, that's the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch. So you really have to be able to fit 60 spoons into a coffee mug. It's hard to imagine such a thing. But even so, when it comes to Hagala, that still won't help us. We've seen a couple of minutes, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Pesach, Tafnun Aleph, that the minig is that even if you have shishim, still we have the minig that you wait until it's Einim Ben Yomo, because people can make a mistake. And they're not going to know exact proportions, how much is shishim, how much is not. And therefore we generally have the practice to wait until something is Einim Ben Yomo. So I brought here the rush, and we'll see in Shulchan Aruch that, in fact, that is the way we are machmer la halacha. So let's begin like this. The Pasuk says, Kol davar asher yava ba'esh tavir ba'esh, v'taher. If something was used by Eish, then in order to kasher it, you need to pass it through a fire as well, and then it will be able to be used. Ach b'medina yischata, you have to sometimes put something in the mikvah. V'chala asher lo yava ba'esh tavir ba'maim. So we'll see Rashi on Chumash says in a couple of minutes, we'll get to that. Rashi points out that this is actually referring to the process of kashering kelim, and the Pasuk is giving us a couple of options depending on what exactly the keli was used for. If it was used to fry something, you have to do one kind of kashering. If it was used to cook something, you have to do a different kind. Yeah.
The pot that you're putting into the pot that you're using for the hot water, for the hagola, is it the pot, is it like a deflation pot, a milkshake pot, does it matter? In other words, the tray thing that you have in your that you're trying to kasher. So you, let's say it was a milkshake pot that you use for plation. Are you koshering it in a milk pot or a flesh pot or a separate pot?
So generally what we do is we wait till it's Einim Ben Yomo, plus we have shishim connected.
But I'm saying about the pot that has the water in it.
Right, yeah. So we wait till the kli is Einim Ben Yomo. So already anything that's going to come out is nosen tam lev gam.
Right.
And then you also generally have shishim in the pot, so even if anything comes out that's l'shvach, it will still be batel anyway. Let's first get into the sugya and we'll see if your question is answered. So Rabbeinu Tam writes in the Sefer HaYashar, as well as Rabbeinu Tam in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin, the Smak writes this, like this as well, that he takes the pasuk literally here, that there's a mitzvah essay to do hagala on your kelim. So therefore, if something gets treif up in your house, you can't just put it on top of the fridge and say, oh, Pesach time, we'll go and kasher it. No, there's a mitzvah essay that I'm supposed to go ahead and kasher my treif kelim in the house. That is the way Tosfos is of the opinion. Rov of the money on mitzvahs disagree with Tosfos, and they say no. There's no inherent mitzvah to go ahead and do hagalas kelim. There's no inherent mitzvah to go and make sure all my kelim in the house are kosher. Rather, we assume that the pasuk over here is not giving me a direct mitzvah of what I'm supposed to do. It's just saying, if in fact you want to use the clay midyan after the mechama is over, you're going to have to take the kelim home. Are going to have to do a kashering on those kelim. That is the machlokes harishonim. So the Stechemet quotes from Rabbeinu Manoach. What is the reason why we don't recite a bracha? Everyone okay out there? Okay. What's the reason why we don't recite a bracha on the hagala? So says Rabbeinu Manoach, has quoted in the Stechemet a very strange reason. He says the reason why is because efshar bekelim chadashim. Who told you to kasher your kelim? Go buy a new set of kelim. Something became treif, throw it out. So frek the Stechemet, what do you mean? We make a bracha every day on tzitzis. And nobody told me I have to buy tzitzis. Don't wear, don't wear a beggar that has dalet kamfas. So what does Rabbeinu Menachem mean? The reason you don't make a bracha on agala is simply because efshar bekelim chadashim, because I don't really need this, I can use kelim chadashim, it doesn't sound like that makes any sense. How does that fit with the psak that we find by tzitzis? So in fact, the official reason why we don't recite a bracha is, because of what the Isser V'Heter writes, and that's a number bay. Zok the Isser V'Heter as follows. How come we have the practice to make a bracha when we go and tovel something in the mikvah when you buy it from a non-Jew? However, and we don't make a bracha on the Hagalah. Says the Isser V'Heter, Mishim Sheha Tfilah Hi Mitzvah Esei. The answer is because Tfilas Kelim is in fact a mitzvah. Shenemar Tavir Ba'esh V'Taher V'Ach Ben Nida Yishchatah. So sometimes you have to bring your kelim. If you buy them from a non-Jew, you have to put them into a mikvah. The iluha agala, says the Isser V'Heter, not that it's not daraisa, of course it's daraisa, we learn that from the pasuk. However, he says, it's kemitzvas lo sase, kedoshilo yechal tam nevelo utrefa, in order that I won't come to eat a tam of nevelo utrefa. Right? So that's the reason why we don't recite a bracha. And he says the same way, says the Isser V'Heter. We don't recite brachas when we do an activity that saves us from violating an Isser. The same way when I take the Gid Anasha out of the animal, I don't recite a bracha on the Nikar Agid, because it's just saving me from violating the Isser of Gid Anasha. So too over here, I don't recite a bracha when I go and do Hagala on my Kelim, because it's just saving me from violating an Isser of possibly having a tam of nevelos utrefas in my mouth. And when we have that, we don't recite a bracha. Then he points out, the only one exception to this rule is when it comes to kiddushin. Right? The only reason we have to get married is to save us from the Isra of arayas. So why do we make a bracha there? So that all the Rishonim have a big discussion. Maybe it's a berachas hashvach, berachas hanena, not clear exactly what it is. But basically, that is the only exception to the rule. And that's the reason why we don't recite a bracha on Hagala. Yeah. Meaning, don't go ahead and use... He doesn't mean a lo sase. He means, don't use the clay midyan. This is going to save you from violating an isser. He doesn't mean a lo sase. He means to save you from violating an isser. Yeah. Yeah. No, so over there, yes, it's... But also there's a mitzvah. The Rabbanu Shalom says, go ahead and tovel it in the mikvah. So there's an actual mitzvah. Over here he says there's no mitzvah. The pasuk just says if you want to save yourself from violating a possible isser, so then this is what you should go ahead and do. It's interesting that there are those who quote, Rabbi Avadia Yosef quotes in his Chazon Avadia Haggadah on Pesach, so Rabbi Avadia Yosef quotes that there were communities in Hodu. That's, as far as I know, that is India. So he writes that there were Jewish communities in India that have the bracha in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Al Haggalas Kelim. They do have such a bracha. They had a minigan. Rabbi Avadia Yosef says that this is a bracha levatala mamish. He says there's not, you should not be samach on that at all, even if your origins are from India. He says it's totally a mistake, and it's not something that we find in any of the previous sources. And he says that it just crept in from some mistaken personality there. So, be it as it may, we know that Rav Rishonim assume that there's no mitzvah sase of Hagala. Yes, we have the Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer Yashar and Avodah Zarah that say it is, but generally we assume there is no mitzvah. And therefore, we are allowed to keep the kelim around our house. Even if they become treif, we're allowed to keep them in a special place to make sure we don't use it. We're allowed to put it on top of the fridge, in a bag, something to remind us that we should kasher it at some point. But there's no mitzvah to run and go ahead and make sure to kasher our kelim. Now let's move on to the next thing. And this is really what relates back to what we spoke last week about not bar not. Here's a very important rush from Sachem in the second perek, Simon Zayin. Zuck the rush, let's read it together. V'chein nami kli shehu ben yomo. Says the rush, when you have a kli that's a ben yomo, meaning, I just cooked basar b'chala by mistake in this pot, and now it is treif. Ein lahagil, he says, you are not supposed to go ahead and kasher that, ela im kein yesh b'mei hayora hagadola shishim levato pleitas hakli. Unless I have shishim in the pot, in the big hot pot that I'm doing the kashering in, I need to have shishim in that pot, keneged this kli. Dehainu kol ovei dofnei hakli debekula misharin. That's what the Rush points out, that we're Mishayer on the whole pot, and not just on the top part of the pot that had soup in it. We assume that for some reason, the Blios went through and through all above and all around the entire pot. Dim ein bo shishim, if there is not shishim in the big vat that you're using to kasher your trefe kelim, then we assume kol ha niflat mimenu chozer v'nivla b'socho. What's going to happen? the treif of blias are going to go out into the water. And then it's going to come back, v'shuma mecham and havitam l'shvach. Right? When the treif of blia goes into the hot water, that's nosin tam l'shvach. And then we'll come back into the treif of pot and treif it up again. Abol, im eina b'nei yoman, so I skipped a few words here, whatever. Abol im eina b'nei yoman, mutter lahagilo afilu ein b'mayim shishim levata l'sakli. If the kli is already eina b'nei yoman, right? So now everything that's going to come out from the blios and the pot are going to be nosin tam l'fgam. So now the Rosh tells us you're allowed to do the hagala even in less than shishim. Even in a pot that has less than shishim. Why? Because I don't need to be mevatel anything. Right? Really, meikar adin, a kli she'ein ben yomo, meikar adin is mutter. The whole thing is midrabanan. Midrabanan, we say we are making zera ein ben yomo, atu ben yomo. Maybe you're going to mix up all the pots. So since it's midrabanan anyway, and now I only have to kasher it midrabanan, so even if there's not shishim, it's okay because it's no sin tam lefgam anyway. Ba'afo pisha tam ha'pogim ha'nifla mimanu chozer v'nifla b'socho. Ah, you have the same problem. Notice in tam lefgam, it's a foul taste that comes out. It goes into the hot water, but it's going to come back. No, embo chashash da'avi kenos in tam bar nois in tam, because now already it's a not bar not. Shenifla minakli l'mayim v'chozer v'nifla b'kli v'kulan heter kiven shenifgam ha'tam. And now there's nothing to be concerned about. V'lo gazrin on lahago kli she'en ben yomo atu ben yomo. That's a very good question. We know you're not allowed to cook midrabanan with a kli she'en ben yomo, because the real Isser D'oraisa is only on a kli ben yomo. Now Chazal came along and said, we have a gzera ein ben yomo atu ben yomo, you're not allowed to cook in that pot either, so frak the rush. If the same way we tell you, don't ever do hagala on a kli that's a ben yomo, so why don't we tell you, don't do hagala on a kli that's ein ben yomo? Why don't we make a gzera over there also and say that we can never kasher any kalim? So, it's hard to figure out exactly when something's gzera l'gzera and when it's all considered one big gzera in the first place. It's very hard to define. Right? It would never apply. So you're saying they can't be yoker adin. So the Taz, that's Rabbi David Cohn put out a beautiful sefer, the one from Flatbush. He put out a sefer called HaTaz HaYadua. It's like 100 pages or something like that, where he goes through Shas and he shows where you find the famous Shita of the Taz, where it pipes up in all different areas of Shas and Halacha. So what is this Taz? So the Taz is in fact in three different places in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. It's in Yeridaya, Hilchos, in Simen Kufta Zayin, in Hilchos, Devar Masur Mishim Sakana. And then he has it in a third place as well. So the Taz is called the Taz HaYadua. That's the sefer that Rav David Cohen wrote just about this Taz. What does he say? That Chachamim never have a right to make Gzeira in a way that's going to wipe out a whole Dinda Arais. If the Torah said such a thing as Mutter, Chazal have no right to come along and say, well, we Aser it. They have a right to say, well, don't do this because maybe you'll do that and something else, and the din won't apply. They'll limit the din and say it only applies in certain cases. But to throw out a whole mitzvah in the Torah, that Chazal don't have a right to do. That's the Taz HaYadua. So you're asking that's the simple answer. So maybe you see from this rush that we don't hold like the Taz. Meaning that's the whole sefer of David Cohn goes like this. In every single scenario, he figures out, does this Rishon hold like the Taz or not like the Taz? A very interesting sefer. Anyway, so frek the rush. Why don't we make a gzera the same way you're not allowed to cook in a kli she'ena ben yomo, atu cooking in a kli ben yomo? Frek the rush. Why don't you also make a gzera? Don't do hagala on a kli she'ena ben yomo, atu a kli ben yomo, which we know you can't do. So he says, no. Dehasam, everyone has it? Dehasam rai ligzer. Over there by Bishol, there's a good reason to make a gzera. Shem yivasha b'kli ben yomo, hatab shalosam in Torah. What's going to happen? If mistakenly I use a kli ben yomo to cook my chicken soup in, the food that I just made is going to be treif. It's going to be treif midaraisa. So therefore we make a gzera over there, eina ben yomo atam ben yomo, which could be the Rosh's addressing your question. Meaning over there, at worst, you're going to be left with an issur daraisa. Over here, at worst, what are you going to be left with? Nothing. So that's what he says. V'gam bishul tapshul shosam in abayis. Over there, we're talking about everyone in the house takes out a frying pan and wants to put up an egg. So your kids, they don't know what they're doing, but call you two, they're going to make a mistake. If not to the chatchilu levasha b'klishein ben yomo. So that's why we tell the kids, we tell the family, don't ever use the kalim. If they're treif, even if they're ein ben yomo, you can't use it. Kach yivashu b'klishu ben yomo. Aval hachla, but over here by the kashering, im yachzer v'yivla ma'at min ha'nifla dover mu'adhu. It's only, at worst, going to be a tiny little tam, v'nosin tam or nosin tam, and not bar not, when it's hatera, is going to be permissible. So that is what the rush comes out over here. That's what the rush comes out. So, what you see from this rush is a very important yesod, that we need shishim whenever we talk about hagala. We always need to make sure that the shishim can neged the pot or the spoon or the fork that we're trying to kasher, because otherwise we're going to be stuck with a not bar not issue and our hagala will actually not work. And therefore the minig is, as the Ramah writes in Tafnun Beis, it's in two places. The Ramah Nilchas Pesach and Tafnun Beis Sif Beis, as well as in Yerudea Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Beis. The Ramah writes the same thing in both places, that we have the minig never to go ahead and do hagala unless the kli is a Eina Ben Yomo, for two reasons. Number one, you might make a mistake and not have shishim in the pot. And number two, he says, maybe not everyone knows how to do hagala, maybe not everyone knows that the water has to be boiling hot, bubbling, and if it's not going to be exactly the way it's supposed to be, so then your kli is going to be left really being treif again. So therefore, the Ramah writes that our minig is, we absolutely do not ever allow hagala on a kli ben yom. So that's the psak. It's not. It's midrabanan. We say ena ben yom ata ben yom. It's a very important point you're making, which I want to get to later, and that is, let's say, meaning it makes a big nafkamina. So what is the iser? Meaning, is your kli really treif? Let's say I go ahead and I mistakenly cook with a cliche ena ben yom. You're picking up. This is what Ramesha has a whole tshuva on this in Chelek Aleph Yerudeya. He says, what happens? Abe kli she'ena ben yom. So what's the iser? Chazal said, don't use it because atu a kli ben yom. Is my food treif? No, but the avid we hold is kasher. So, what are you going to say? So you have to say it's an independent iser that Chazal said, don't use a cliche in a ben yomo, but not that it makes my food treif, because we know but the avid is kasher. So Rav Moshe extrapolates from that, what happens when I have a Goyisha company that's manufacturing food? And they do one run of whatever it is, some treif of food, and then they wait till the machinery is in a ben yomo, and now they want to do a run of kosher chocolate, whatever it is. They make first treif of chocolate with mama's treif of milk in it, whatever it is. And now they want to make a run of kosher chocolate. We're not talking about chal v'yisrael. That's, you know, more room to be makel if it's just that little bit. We're talking about real treifas, let's say. We're using the factory. So, says Rav Moshe, meikar adin, there's nothing wrong with it. Why? Because the non-Jew, Chazal didn't put the iser ein ben yom on a non-Jew. Right? The iser doesn't apply to him. The non-Jew is running the factory. I'm just buying his product. So says Rav Moshe, as long as we know, we have a mashgiach in there, as long as we really know that everything was done and they waited 24 hours, even without a hagala, without anything, as long as we know that though kelim are in a b'nei yoman, the food is edible, the food is mutar l'chatchila. However, yeah, obviously there's no b'ed, but when you talk about these companies, my father always says that the OU, yeah, they make everything because even if their new recipe is even one little drop off, they can get sued because of all types of things. Yeah. So nowadays we know that they're very careful to clean all the ban off. But now we're talking about blias. So what about the blias? So lechayr the blias are out anyway. But we're talking, let's say they don't do hagala, they don't really wash it with hot, they just keep running the system. So as long as you know that they waited 24 hours, you're allowed to actually eat the food lechatchila. However, says Rav Moshe Netshuva and Chelek Aleph, and this is what the OU's policy is as well, that he says it's mechur hadavar for us to give a hechsher on a company for something that we ourselves will not be allowed to do. Yes, although, it's a strange thing to understand, because although, it's mutter, it's mutter, so what's the problem? Says Rav Moshe, it's mechur adavar. It's not right for us to give a hechsher. So he says, if it's a shasat chagadol, for example, you have a milk factory that refuses to make a kosher run of milk, and whatever, they refuse to do the hagala. Okay, so that's a necessity. But says Rav Moshe, if it's just a licorice company, or it's a ice cream company, okay, not such a shasat chag, it's a pizza company, so what's the big deal? So therefore, Rav Moshe says, okay, you have to draw, everyone has to draw their own line. So Rav Moshe writes that halacha lemaisa, it's mechur hadavar to give a hechsher on something that we ourselves would not be allowed to do, even though he admits it doesn't really make sense to apply it there. The non-Jew is not nichla on the iser of ena ben yama, ata ben yama, that's a gzeira on us. So that really relates to the question you asked, and it will come back, and it's more nogeya soon, and the OU is mekel, as we'll see, the OU is going to be mekel with a tzirf of other shitas based on this Rav Moshe. So let's move forward. We have this pasuk kol asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh. Says Rashi on Chumash. That's number Dalid. Rashi tells us what exactly does the translation of this pasuk actually mean. So Rashi says, asher yavo ba'esh, what does that mean? Shetashmisho al yedei ha'esh. Kigon shvudim achsalos lasos tzli. When I make a barbecue, so I use a spit. So now that went in direct contact with the fire, so the only way to kasher that is to put it into a fire, to do libun. So tzarach labinos ba'esh umisha tashmisha ayde rotev. If I have something that was cooked with water or with some sort of oil, then tzarach lagilu baroschem. Then I have to go ahead and kasher it by putting it into burning hot water. And there's a whole discussion, maybe if anyone's interested in Hagala after we're done here, maybe next week we'll continue and talk about Hagala B'Shar Mashkim. It's a big discussion. Do you have to do Hagala only in water, or can you do it even in burning hot oil? Can you do it in burning hot chocolate and certain things? Cocoa powder, the chocolate company wanted to use, something like that, a hot chocolate mix they wanted to use in order to kasher up the system that they had, whatever, so it's interesting. But here says Rashi, we learn the din of Kibbalo Kachbalta, which means the same way the Bliya went into the Kli is the way the Bliya is going to have to come out of the Kli. So if it happened directly on the fire, you need to do Liban. If it happened by means of water, then you have to do Hagala, and that is the way to get out the Bliya. What is the makar for this halacha? So the makar is the Gemara Navadazar, that's number Hey. The Gemara Navadazar, Daf Ayin Hey, Amid Beis tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Halokeach Kli Tashmish Min Ha'akum. Let's say I buy a utensil, I buy some sort of food. It's obviously not if I buy a sweater or a jacket from a non-Jew. It's only if I use something that we're going to use for food. And while we're on this, it's important to note. Somebody asked a question last week. I was emailing him this week about it. Someone told me, oh, now that we're learning about Nat Bar Nat, so he said he's been married for many years and he very much likes toast. He said he likes toast. But for some reason, his wife never wanted him to have a toaster in the house. I think they're dangerous or something, I don't know. So what does he do? Not going to give up on his toast, so what does he do? He has a very good marriage, don't worry. So what does he do? So he said that what he's been doing all these years is he has the blech. So he puts the blech on top of the fire, and he puts a few pieces of challah on top of the blech, turns on the fire, and after a few minutes it gets toasty. And then he takes it off and he puts butter on it. This is what he's been doing for many years. So this is mamish not by not. That's dugam shalei bekarim. That's exactly what we were describing. That case. Because on the blech, you have your chicken soup spills out on Shabbos, and you have a piece of schnitzel that falls onto it. So it's fleishiks. The blech is fleishiks, right? And now he went ahead and he put his pieces of challah to toast. So now they get a blia of basar. And now he goes ahead and he spreads butter on it. That is the exact case of dugam shalei bekarim. I went back to yeshiva this week and I told someone, you learn the case in the Gemara, Dagim Shalei Bekar, not Bar Nat, it never happens. Mamash, that case never happens. I said this week, I had a case, it mamash happened. So that, we're generally machmer, not Bar Nat, al yidei bishul, I date sleep for sure. There's no medium. I date sleep for sure, we're machmer, and therefore I told him he shouldn't do that. However, obviously, be the evidence mutter, so, okay, he's alright. But lamaisa, it's something lechatchila you're not allowed to do. But the bigger problem that I mentioned to him that he never thought of was, so we still say, Eina ben yomo ata ben yomo. You're not allowed to lechatchila. You're not allowed to use it. But generally, he uses it on Shabbos, and on Sunday morning, he uses the leftover challah for his toast. So it is ben yomo. What? Even if you get around the power of knife, I don't know. But the bigger problem that I pointed out to him is that he never toiveled the blech. Right? Because now that you're using the blech as a pan, you have to tovel the blech. Similarly, when I told my father about the story, my father reminded me that let's say you have people who like baked potatoes, right? So you don't always put a baked potato in a pan and put it in the oven. Sometimes, I was told, I don't eat baked potatoes, but I was told that, what? I don't know. Somebody told me that it's more geschmack if you wrap it up in foil because the heat really gets very hot inside. So a lot of people just put it on a rack directly into the oven. You just wrap foil around it. In such a case, you have to tovel the racks in your oven. What's the reason why you don't have to tovel the racks in the oven? Because I always put everything on with a pan. So then we assume that this rack is only holding up the pan, but the pan is really what's servicing the food. That's the Kli Suda. So if you put out a piece of aluminum foil and you're going to take it out, right, like this, you're going to take it out by the foil, then that's a different story. Perhaps it's not. But if you wrap the potato up in foil, which apparently a lot of people like to do because it keeps the heat inside of the potato, then it turns out that the whole Kli Suda that's helping you to make your potato is the rack. So now you have to go ahead and tovel the rack. So this person wrote back to me, I emailed him this week with this issue, and he wrote back to me, oh, I stopped doing the toast, but I also used to put nuts on the blech. Chestnuts is something to toast them. So now he realized he still doesn't get out of the Tefillas Kelim problem with the chestnut. I said, just get a toaster, it might be easier for your life, and whatever, move on. Anyway, so that's this Gemara, Navadazar Daf Ayin Hey, a very important Ha'ara that came out of the Shir last week. So the whole series was worth it already. So it says the Gemara, Navadazar Daf Ayin Hey, Tana Rabbanan Ha'okeach Kli Tashmish Min Ha'akum. If somebody buys Kli Tashmish Min Ha'akum, meaning Kli Suda, Dvarim Shalon Ishtamish Behem, Matvilim v'hein tahorim. And it's something that the guy manufactured. It's not something that he was using in his house. It's something that he manufactured. So as long as I put it in the mikvah, it's able to be used. Dvarim sh'neshtamesh b'hem ayidei tzonen. Let's say the non-Jew used this as a cup for his wine, for his beer or whatever. Gigon kosos, ketones, sluchos, or plates that he used for cold. Madichon matvilim v'hein tahorim. I have to make sure they're clean. Then you put them in the mikvah and it's good. Dvarim sh'neshtamesh b'hem ayidei chamin. Let's say it's something that he used to cook. Gigon hayeros v'akumkum osin. Right, a kumkum. You have a hot water urn, or you have a yoret. You have a big vat that they used to heat up to put some sort of cooking in there. Then magilon matvilam ein torin. You have to do hagal on it. Dvarim shenestam shem aidei ur. Let's say it's something that he actually used. Ha'ar is not the right word. It's ha'ur. If I have something that the guy used to cook on the fire directly, gon shvudim askelos, like a spit, malabdanu matvilam ein torin. Then I have to do libun, and then I put it into the mikvah, and then I'm able to use it. Then we have another Gemara in Pesachim, right? So this is the basic Gemara in Avodah Zarah that teaches us Kibolo Kach Polto, the same way that it got the Bliya is the way you have to take it out. Similarly, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Hani Sakini B'Pischayecha Avdina L'Hu. What do I do? How am I supposed to have knives for Pesach? So nowadays we all have two sets of knives. But what do we, back in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have money for that, so what are they supposed to do? Amalei L'Didi Yichadatok Avdinan. So Ravashi says, what's the problem? I just make new ones for Pesach. So he says, Amalei, Tenach Mar De'Evshalei, you're a wealthy guy. Delo Evshalei Mai, what do you want from me? I'm a poor yeshiva bacher. What am I supposed to do? I don't have knives for Pesach, and I can't make new ones. So he says, Amalei, Anok Ein Chadatok Amina. I didn't mean that I go ahead and I manufacture new knives for Pesach. I can't afford that either. I'm just a Rosh Yeshiva. Kitayu Betina, rather what do? Parzelaya Benura. Meaning, I take each part of the knife and I kasher it with the appropriate form of hechsher that it needs. So that's what he said. So that's what you see from here, that Kibolo Kach Polto. That's from these two Gemaras are the main sources of the din, where the Gemara discusses this original pasuk of Asher Yava Ba'esh, that we see that there's a din Kibolo Kach Polto. So now, we know if you cook something on a fire with means of water, right, a regular chicken soup or something like that, then Kibolo Kach Polto means you do Hagalah, you do Hagalah. So let's say I have this pot of chicken soup, and it became treif, and now I have to do Hagalah. But I don't have a pot that's big enough to do Hagalah into. So what do I do? So Frecht, the Rishonim, maybe we have a good idea. Rishonim posit that maybe you should do it with Irui. What are you going to do? Take another pot, heat up water, and you go ahead and you start pouring the burning hot water all over the Dofne HaKder that became treif. No? Instead of taking the pot and putting it into a big vat, which I don't have, I'll take a pot, heat it up with water, and pour the burning hot water onto this treifa pot. So does that work or not? So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, this goes back to the discussion we had the last couple of weeks, is Iri like a Kli Rishon or not? Well, so Rabbeinu Tam says, Iri is the same as Kli Rishon. No problem. Iri is the same as Kli Rishon, and therefore, even if this pot became treif by means of cooking, even if it became treif when I was cooking my chicken soup, I'm able to do the Hagalah Ayidei Irui. I could take another burning hot pot and pour it on top of this, and that will be good enough. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. All the other Rishonim disagree, and they say, what are you talking about? We don't paskin like that. We hold that Kli Rishon is Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni is Kli Sheni, and Irui is in the middle. Irui is not as hot as Kli Rishon, so you can't do, if this chicken soup pot became treif by means of Bishul, then you can't undo the treifus by doing Irui. That doesn't help. And therefore, most of the Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam and feel that if a pot becomes treif with a Kli Rishon, the only way to kasher it is either with Libun or with Hagalah by placing it into another Kli Rishon. And in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, in Ilchos Pesach, in Siman Taf Nun Aleph Siv Hey, we are told that Irui Lahalacha does not help to kasher a Kli Rishon because we don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that it has to be the same level of heat as the Bliya actually went in. Now, once in a while, we have the concept of Evan Meluban. What is Evan Meluban? It means you take a boiling hot, a sizzling hot stone, and you do what with it? So there are two general times when we use an Evan Meluban. One is, for example, like this. When I'm cooking a chicken soup, so the soup doesn't always stay at the top of the pot. Very often, parts of it bubble over, and then the outside of the pot also becomes treif, and everything, the lid of the pot becomes treif. So how are we going to kasher the pot? You're not going to fill it up with water till the top and bubble it over and make a mess all over the place. So you don't want to do that. So what do? You fill up the pot pretty high, and you wait for the water to boil, And once the water is bubbling, so then you take an Evan Meluban that came straight out of the oven that's boiling hot, and you drop it into this Kli, and now all the boiling hot water is going to go over the sides. Now, why do you have to take an Evan Meluban? Why can't you just take a regular Evan? Oh, the answer is because if I take a regular Evan, it's going to cool off the water. So I have to take a boiling hot Evan, throw it into the pot, and this way, by displacement, it will pour the water on the outsides of the Dofniak Deira as well. So that's...
And just boil the water over the sides of the pot.
Then you're fine. Then you're fine. But most people, you know, you're going to take a pot and fill it up with that much water. It's not... Yeah, it's not so easy to do. But it's the same thing. Right? So this is an easier way to do it. Just throw a stone in, and then by displacement, the water goes over the sides as well. A second example of when we find this is, for example, you have a countertop. This is the more prevalent example that we hear about. You have a countertop that becomes treif somehow. Some piece of treifus falls onto the countertop, and now you want to kosher it. So I can't take off my countertop and throw it into a vat. It doesn't go off. So how do I kosher it? So I put an Evan Meluban on the countertop, and now I take boiling hot water and I pour it on top of the countertop. So we assume that the Evan Meluban has the same status of Eish Mamish. This is as if it's burning hot flames. And therefore when I pour boiling hot water onto the countertop, we don't assume that that's Irui. We assume that that is Mamish Kli Rishon.
Yeah, but in the case of that's not how it's done. The CRC showed the tapes last year, and I have a copy. The videos are online.
Okay.
They just used boiling.
So I'm going to get to let's get into this for a minute. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Let me just hold on to your thought for a minute. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. That's why the CRC spoke about it Pesach time. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach and the Ramah say as follows. Let's say I do Irui with an Evan Meluban. So that's able to be good enough because that's considered like Hagala B'Kli Rishon. That's what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah both say. And therefore they assume that if a Bliya happens with a Kli Rishon, I'm able to go ahead and Kasher with an Evan Meluban, and that's fine. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah, as well as Shulchan Aruch Harav also, but the Shach is on the page. Shach says, what are you talking about? Evan Meluban is not able to heat something up to be hotter than it was before.
Right.
Evan Meluban is only able to retain the heat that it has. So if you hold, not like Rabbeinu Tam, if you hold that Irui is not the same as Kli Rishon, so what's happening? This counter is treif. And now we're going to put an Evan Meluban on the counter, and I'm going to pour boiling hot water all over the counter. What does that help? Boiling hot water by itself poured on the counter, that's Irui. And the Bliya really happened not by means of Irui. So what does it help to pour boiling hot water onto the counter, even though there's an Evan Meluban? Bottom line, the best an Evan Meluban can do is retain the heat, and it's not able to make the water hotter. So therefore, this disagrees, and he says, Evan Meluban doesn't work. But we know that many people do use an Evan Meluban. So that's why the CRC says not to use it, because the Shach, and many Achronim agree with the Shach, and the Mishnah Berurah comes out like this in Hilchos Pesach, that we should be machmer for the Shach, and not rely on Evan Meluban, because Evan Meluban, at best, can only retain the heat, it can't give more heat. So why do we find that people are makel? Right. Right, so sometimes you have, so you're saying, oh, so that's one thing, or sometimes you can have a davar gush, which is machlekes mashal in the Ramah. So this is what my father told me today when I discussed this with him. So I said, if the Shach is taka right, so how can we do find many people, kasher? Right, Evan Meluban, a lot of people use Evan Meluban. So how can we find people use Evan Meluban? Either Shach's time is probably correct. So my father said, because it's chashash, agave chashash, agave chashash. Like you said, first of all, how did the bliya even happen in the first place? Most of the times it's some chicken soup that's in a klisheni, falls onto the counter. And it's a treif chicken soup, which kemat never happens. So you have this one time in your life that something treif fell onto the counter. So either it happened by klisheni, so ira is good enough, or it happened by means of Dabar Gush, which is Machlag, is the Marshal and the Ramah, whether Dabar Gush were more Machmir, and we say Ein Klisheni by Dabar Gush, not so clear in the first place. Or, and third of all, the whole reason why I have to kash, why do I have to kash the countertop at all? What's the problem? It's only because maybe the Trefa thing fell over here, and then tomorrow my pizza is going to fall in the exact same spot. So what's the Chashash? It doesn't make any sense. So he said, since, this is what my father told me, that since it's so many chashashes, one on top of the other. So, okay, so we'll say, even if the Shach is right, that an Evan Meluban is not able to heat it up, it's only able to retain the heat. Okay, but how much do we need this Hagala anyway? We don't really need it in the first place.
Is steam considered Eroi?
So that's a very good question. So now I want to get into your question and discuss, do we always need to use boiling hot water in order to do a kashering? Okay, and that's a very important issue. The Darkei Tshuva raises the following question. We'll get to the OU document in a minute. It's a fascinating document, but we're not up to there yet. So the Darkei Tshuva raises the following issue that the Achronim discuss. What happens in the following case? I have a factory, and they're able to regulate the temperatures of the products that they're making. Obviously, if you cook chocolate too hot, it's going to get burnt. So they have a very defined temperature that the machines are going to run on, and that's how the bleas are going to go into the machinery. So let's say I have a chocolate factory, and it only is bolea at, what, at 150 degrees, right? Or 110 degrees, whatever. Because anything more than that is going to burn. So we know bevados, they didn't use it over 110 degrees. So now when I go ahead and I do the koshering of this plant, of this machinery, do I have to still have 212? Because Hagala is Hagala. Or do I say, no, Kibbalo Kach Poto means it has to be exactly the way that the Bliya went in. So if the Bliya only went in at 120 degrees, maybe it's good enough if I have a koshering of 120 degrees. I don't need to heat up the water to 212 in order to kosher the Kli, because I know Bevados, they didn't use it more than 110, 120. So that's a big machlokes that the Darkei Tshuva quotes. So some want to say, so doesn't the argument Kibbalo Kach Poto make sense? No, the Gemara says Kibbalo Kach Poto, it's from a pasuk in Chumash. So what's the argument? Why should you say that you still need 212? So some Achronim want to say like this. Perhaps Kibbalo Kach Poto only means which form of kashering you need. Do you need Libun or do you need Hagala? So that's when we say, if it was used Agabe Ha'esh, then you need Libun. If it was used with Roschim, if it was used with cooking, so then you only need Hagala. But once you need Hagala, we don't start figuring out how hot the water has to be. Hagala is Hagala. Hagala always needs 212. And even if the Bliya only went in with 120 or whatever, then there's nothing to talk about. You still are going to need 212. Okay. So that is a big discussion. The Chazanish disagrees. The Chazanish says the Hakel. And he says, no, Kibbalo Kach Poto Mamish. And this is where it came up in the chocolate factories, because in the chocolate factories, they never have the temperature higher than a certain degree. And that's where they had this discussion. Do we have to force them to do the Hagala with 212, or is it good enough to run a Hagala cycle with the amount of temperature of degree that they actually had the bleas go into the machinery? So Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe talks about this in a tshuva, and he says, Me'ikra din we paskin like the Chazanish, that anachinami, all you need is Kibbalo Kach Poto. It has to be the same degree temperature that the bleah went in, is the amount that's necessary for it to come out. But he says, minig ha-machmirim, our minig for regular, from a people is to be machmir, like the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Isser V'Heter. We generally have the minig to be machmir, and we say that all hagalas need 212. And Rav Moshe says that obviously this is only a chumra ba'alma, and therefore when it comes, let's say, to a machine that's going to get ruined if you use 212, because sometimes you have stuff that, I don't know exactly what kind of material, but it can get ruined if it's heated up too hot. So Rav Moshe says, in such a case where it's a hepsid, we have a right to be makel like the Chazanish, even the Chatchila. I mean, it's a b'dieved situation, but he says, we have a right to be makel and only have the Hagala at the degree temperature that the Bliya actually went in. Yeah.
So that's interesting, because I remember discussing this back a number of years ago at the Star K on the whole aspect of kosher encounters. It goes back to the Pesach questions. And because physically, when you go through the kosher process, water obviously cools off. You know, it doesn't stay at 212.
Mm-hmm.
Almost instantaneously.
When you pour it onto something else?
You almost physically cannot. So some people say, you know, you have to do these incredibly wide pans. I had a discussion with the person, and you have to do it like in one shot.
Right.
But if that is really just that you define it as minakamak mir, maybe that explains. Then when you look at the CRC tape, he wasn't bent out of shape at all about cooling water being cooled off as he goes through the process.
Yeah, so that's why I want to show you. That's why I made a photocopy of this OU document, because you'll see exactly the protocols they have for factories. It's very interesting to see how machmer they are and how careful they are, and under very rare instances are they makel for this Rav Moshe. We'll see in a few minutes. There's a very interesting discussion, which is the same.
I just wanted to talk about that. If you are going to follow that approach, it's, I'm telling you, it is almost, think about, having done this for years with countertops, it is almost impossible.
So use an Evan Maluma. You know, that's what it's for.
No, but it doesn't, that also does, again, the that doesn't work so well. Am I going to keep on moving it around?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim, is chametz kalashana considered hetera bala or isura bala?
Right.
So that's number one. Perhaps it's only hetera bala, and you don't need such a serious form of kashering. As long as Pesach didn't start yet and you're kashering before, perhaps it's hetera bala. Okay, that's maybe closer to Pesach. We'll discuss more chametz and yanim, if anyone's interested. So there's a very similar, but a... there's a very similar, but it's a backwards discussion. We were just talking about the Machlekes, the Darkei Tshuva, and the Chazon Ish, about when the Bliya came in at a lower temperature, do I still need 212 or not? What happens when the Bliya comes in at a higher temperature than 212, for example, a pressure cooker, right? So you have a pressure cooker, which cooks apparently at degrees which are much higher than 212. So now when I want to go ahead and kosher that machine, do I need to have water that's hotter than 212? What would you say? It's the same question, just in the opposite direction. Do you say Hagala is Hagala, period? 212 is 212. And the same way we require 212 for something which only came in with a Bli of 120, maybe we should say something which came with a Bli of 400 needs to have a Bli only of 212. So that's the question. And my father, Paskin, can it come out? Right. Right. Right, okay. So my father, Paskin, I just saw that Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes this as well in his Pesach Haggadah. That's where he has Hilchos Haggadah. So Rabbi Avadi writes the same sack, and this is what the OU follows, that Haggadah, even for a pressure cooker, is good enough at 212. Why is that the case? So I gave here a snippet from the Sefer Haggadah's Kalim. He has a whole discussion about this, basically, from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So this is all a quote from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. So he says, Ki mayim rosh chemaflitim kol masha nivla b'kli ayidei mayim o mashke afim nivla b'chom gavoa yoter. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman assumed, exactly the question you were asking. Even if a bliya goes in at 400, bottom line, it doesn't give, I don't know what you call it, but it doesn't infuse the dofna akdera with more time than had it been cooked at 212. So therefore he says, if you have water of 212, that's good enough to get out the bliya. Exactly. If it's in, it's in. And if it goes through and through at 212, then we assume it's through and through, and 212 is good enough to take it out. The Raya Ledover, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Sharei Bikderos, when you have a pot, Lefamim Misyabesh Harotev, once in a while when I'm cooking a chicken soup, right? So you have, the soup gets dried up, Valfalpike and Sagi B'Hagola. So the soup dries up, and now I'm left with the vegetables and the chicken at the bottom. It can happen. Do we tell you that you have to go ahead and do a better form of koshering for that? Did we tell you to go ahead and do libun on that? No. Why not? Umishum sheyesh adayin ksas rotev, since there's a little bit of rotev still there, ken kasavro, okay, skip the parentheses. Where do they go to? Kemavur b'mishneh berurah. Good. Everyone has it? Kemavur b'mishneh berurah sham shavadai shamaychol mutzak chomer yosem imea milo celsius. He says, for sure, when you have the solid pieces at the bottom of the chicken soup, you're left with the vegetables and the chicken, and the rotev is already dried up. Obviously, that's putting in a much hotter bliya into the dofnei akdera than the chicken soup itself. We all know that the din is, it's good enough if you do the kashering with hagalah. Raya, daha kishem evashal b'shemen, and he brings a raya to this fact. He says, because let's say I'm cooking something with oil instead of water. Now, anyone who knows the ABC of science knows that oil gets much hotter, right? So when I'm cooking with oil, it probably goes to, I don't know what, 250 degrees, 300 degrees, whatever it is. So when I do the Haggadah, maybe I should say that I need to have water that's much hotter, or maybe I have to do Haggadah with oil. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not true. It's good enough to do Haggadah, even though I was cooking with oil, which was much hotter. It's good enough if I do the Haggadah with 212. The old Raya, he brings another proof. I had a chicken soup pot, which was directly on top of the fire. And now, how am I koshering it? I'm sticking it into another pot. Do you think this is going to be just as hot as when I cooked it on top of the fire itself? Of course not, because when I had a flame underneath the pot itself, this pot became much hotter. Now what am I doing? At best, I'm putting it into another kli, which has a fire under it. It's not going to get as hot as it was in the first place. Af al pisha kli rishon ha omed al ha'esh hidocham yoter me'asher be'es hachnasasa l'kli acher. So that's what he argues. And may Agunim Shalom Azaman Erbach Shamati Raya Mistimus Haposim Shakal Kli Rishon Dai Lachshir B'Kli Rishon. Shalom Azaman argued that that's always good enough. When you have a Kli Rishon, you can put it into another Kli Rishon. It doesn't have to be Mamish Al Gabi Ha'esh. We don't assume that way. V'lo Chilku Benim B'liyasar Ha'isa B'makam Namuch V'hakasha B'makam Gavoa Afa Pisha Dargas Chom Resicha B'makam Gavoa Hinimucha Yoter Me'asher B'makam Namuch. So that is the bottom line there. Shalom Azaman wrote the same sack as well, that even if you use something such as a pressure cooker, or you use something which you cooked with oil, which obviously cooks at a much higher temperature, we don't assume that you have to go ahead and do the hagala, the kashering, with that high degree of temperature. Rather, it's good enough if you do 212, because 212 is the max for hagala. So this is really a discussion in both directions. Again, number one, when I have a bliya that only goes in with a lower degree temperature, do I assume that I still need 212, or do I assume that I just have to do Kabbalah Kachpalto? Or do I assume over here by the pressure cooker that I need a higher temperature or not? Now let's look at the way it comes down halacha lemaisa. So look at this document, K314. It's very, very fascinating. So the OU let down the guidelines for their mashgichim when they should be makel and when they have to be machmir for the temperatures of hagala in certain companies. So they write as follows. Ordinarily, it's very interesting when you read this, you can see in the different styles. It was signed by both my father and Rabbi Belsky, and you can see who wrote which parts of it. It's very interesting. If you know either of them, you can notice. Ordinarily, kashering should be done with water that is mala resicha, which means bubbling over. This is sufficient even if the production temperature was above mala resicha. If you look at number 2, it says, see Hagalas Kelim, chapter 13, footnote 301. That's what we just read in Hebrew, right? That he says, even if I cook with a pressure cooker, even if I cook with oil, and the bliya goes in at a much higher degree, that's good enough to do it with 212. Next line. Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that mala resicha is 212 Fahrenheit, but b'shas hadchak, it's 190. Okay, so that's a separate question. And then he writes where he got that from. Rav Moshe Feinstein also writes that even if the production temperature was below mala resicha, kashering should lechatchila be done at mala resicha, right? That was the machlokes, the Darkei Tshuva, and the Chazon Ish. And Rav Moshe writes that meikra then we paskin like the Chazon Ish kibalo kachpoto. You can even use a lower degree temperature, and that's good enough. But he says the minhag machmirim is that we should use 212 all the time. But the letter of the law is that production temperature kibalo kachpoto is sufficient. So far, so good. Based on the above, OU policy for water temperature of Hagala is as follows. L'chatchila 212, even if the production temperature exceeded 212. B'shas hadchak 190. Number 3, if production temperature was below 190 Fahrenheit, right, let's say the chocolate company, then b'shas hadchak gadol, after consultation with the OU office, meaning they're not giving the right to the mashgiach to make this call, they're saying you have to call us. A temperature slightly higher than the production temperature is permissible. Why slightly higher? The temperature should be slightly higher because Yafshe L'Tzamtzim. If the company is owned by a non-Jew, there is more basis to be lenient. After consultation, and B'Shas Hadchak, rely on Kabbalah Kachpalta, since Rav Moshe writes that the entire kashening of Klei Akum when they are Eina Ben Yomon is only a Chumrah. That's what we mentioned before also. Why? Because, like Moshe said, the whole Isser of Eina Ben Yomo is a Gzeira Ata Ben Yomo. So what? Chazal made that Isser, that Gzeira, on a non-Jew? No. So really, if we have a Trefa factory, we could just wait till their Kalim are Eina Ben Yomo, and then we could go ahead and cook whatever we want. We don't have to kasher it. Says Rav Moshe, Meikra Adin, it's Mechura Adavar if we do something that we ourselves wouldn't be allowed to cook in. So therefore we say you have to kasher the Kalim of the non-Jewish manufacturer as well. But b'di'evet b'shas hadchak gadol, he says, we have a right to be makel on that as well. So now let's see. Kvar hukva l'chok l'anhaga zeh kama shanim klali ha'agala hanal. So then they write that these are the guidelines we've set down for many years in the OU. V'hinini b'zeh l'hadgish b'milim k'tzaros. And now they want to write up hachiluk shebeina l'chatchila shetzara chamin b'milas 212. How can we say that l'chatchila every company must use 212 degrees? Lama l'hutar ele b'shas hadchak shehu b'chamin shal 190. Why are we so machmer? Why do we say 212? Why don't you just allow them to do 190? So he says there are 5 guiding principles that he wants every mashgiach to keep in mind. Number 1, this is pretty funny how it's written. Reishis. This is not made to be a public record. That's why it's written in a very like cute way, because it's written for the mashgichim to read. So he writes, Reishis. Pashinu barur shatchilas bakashas hamashgiach. When a mashgiach goes to meet with a company, tiyeh ba'ad roschem gemurim shal 212. He has to say right away, 212, and that's it. V'lo yizacher inyan shal 190. He shouldn't even say that there's a second option. Exactly. You have to go in and say, the Jewish law asks that we do Haggalah at 212, period. Until you really look into the intricacies of this particular production, and you find out that this is just an impossibility. Don't you dare ever say, when you walk in to meet them, 190? Do you think we can make it higher than 190? Because then they know that 190 is an option. No, you don't give them that option. You say 212, period. Ramosha makes a whole cheshbon where he gets the numbers from. It's complicated. I think my father said that Rav Soloveitchik thought it was 150. Yeah, it's like, whatever, the numbers are a little off. Va'af lo, ana mevakshim, roschim v'imkasha lechabdo, if it's hard to work it out, yesh lanu nochiyas b'inyan zeh. Va'af haim efshe lahagbiya, milos hacham in the 212, you shouldn't even ask it in that way. They're saying, when you go into a company and you negotiate with them, don't say, do you think your machines can handle 212? Don't ask them like that, because then they think that there's a way out. You're not allowed to negotiate like that. Only one thing is what you should say. You want to get a hechsher from the OU? This is the way we do it. You have to kasher all the kalim at a degree of 212. And if the owner is claiming that he can't do that, then 2, 3, and 4, and 5 apply to you. But if not, that's where the discussion stops. Number 2. Masha nimsa ma'od, what we find very often, shemetzayrim, that the manufacturers, mistaklim ba'azos panim ha'mashgiach, they talk very disrespectfully to the mashgiach, umatilin alav pachad ba'ema, and they make him nervous, umuvatlin dvarav ke'eves batohu, and they talk to him like he doesn't exist. Va'omrim anu osim kach v'kach, they talk to him with authority, and they say, this is what we're doing. Ratzalomer al tosiv dabar elai od. Don't talk to me about this. Don't negotiate. B'divrei sh'tiyosecha v'ani eser kirtzoni. He says that experience has shown that this is very often the way manufacturers talk. V'le'um hazeh mishtaber liba shel mashgiach nebach. You have this poor mashgiach out in some far-flung country somewhere who's all alone. He doesn't even have a minion. What's he supposed to do? Umekabo komasha chotzef mitzava alav. Okay, so he takes the abuse. Lo yitochen kazela olam. Ela yana hamashgiach. Listen to this. My father obviously wrote. Slicha. Ze hachok shalanu velo yaber. This is the rule. Vim tirtze yeshlanu cheap rabbis. If you want, you can go ahead and get a cheaper rabbi. Vitagilahem sipurecha. Go tell him your story. Ula yovelucha v'yichanenu oscha. All right. So he says that you want a cheap hashgacha, go get a cheap hashgacha, but if you want the OU, this is the way we do it, and don't abuse me over this rule over here. Number 3. What?
Is that cheap or cheap?
Cheap.
Cheap.
Cheap rabbis.
Cheap.
Cheap, yeah. Cheap. Okay, number 3. Vim Yitzhak. Okay. Vim Yitzhak. Let's say he'll continue to argue. We can't do it with 212 because it's going to ruin the manufacturer's machinery. We can't get our machinery to this degree of heat. It's impossible. We don't even have anything here that facilitates such heat. Where they say other stories. You have to look into the Metzias and find out if that's really true. Don't just believe him. Let's say the mashgiach just doesn't know the technology. He has to look it up and find out. Most of the times you're going to look into it, the machinery is not going to get ruined if you use 212 instead of 190. It's baloney. Number 4. If you tried all of the above, and still the manufacturer argues, V'kashahu, and he says it's very, very difficult, he can. Rak oz yispasha al-cham and shal 190. Then you make a pshar with him and you say, okay, by the way, there's the second option of 190, how about that? Ki kvar huver shenichnas legvul shal shasat chak. Then that's a shasat chak. If he's saying that absolutely not, he won't hear it, so either the choice is you're not going to have kosher food, or the other choice is you do 190. Ki kvar huver shenichnas legvul shal shasat chak v'yotzim legvul shal lechatchila v'achar kol zeh yispal al-hashem. You're going to get used to this. The next factory that you go to, right, you're going to do the same thing and you're not even going to give them the first option. So that's what he says. You better be careful. So therefore he says you have to be careful that you don't get used to this practice and it's only to be used in a shas adchak and that's it. Listen to number five. Let's say you have very fine machinery that you can't even use 190. Shalanu, RC's is rabbinical coordinator in the OU. So after you ask our team of rabbanim in the OU's office, then perhaps then you have the right to be maker, like the Chazon Ish said, with the degree of temperature that the bli actually went in. Ratzalomer, b'chom shal achol ha'pachas 10 degrees yoser me'achom, we're machmir that even if you say, like the Chazon Ish, that kebalo kachpalto only at that low degree, obviously you have to raise it 10 degrees because yev shal etzamtzei. Hachi gabor shem shtam shem ha'bibishol ha'tetzeres ha'lo kasher b'klizeh, u'bavad shi'alik sas ala mifal she'izbonenu b'tachnas chadasha, ech l'saken ha'dover, that you tell them when you get new machinery, make sure you get something that obviously is able to handle. Lag bia ha'agal l'chalapachas l'malas 190. V'im shlosh eile lo yaseh lo. And if all these don't work out, v'yatzachina men kasef. It's gotta be. Get out of there and don't give a hashgacha. Don't take the money and move on with life. V'im nekayim anal, if we're going to follow these guidelines, yischazku harbe mibadke hakashrus, then other kashrus agencies will realize that this is the way it has to go. So this is the guidelines that the OU set down with regard to the temperature levels for Haggadah. And I think it basically sums up everything that we've discussed this evening. I hope we have a little bit more of an understanding on how this relates back to not bar not that we've been discussing the last few weeks.